is, we kind of started this last time, but we'll review what we did, and then we're going to go further. So, we're doing the book, by the way, the Rashba. He wrote a book, a commentary on Agadatas. So he kind of takes certain Gemaras and he tries to explain them. So, the one that's talking about is a famous halacha that, you know, you stand together with your feet together during davening. Okay? So where do we learn that from? So we learn it from the pasuk, and this is part of the question. It's funny to learn from this, but there's the pasuk describing malachim in a nevuah of like Ma'aseh Merkavos, and it has like malachim, and it describes them as having straight feet. Raglehem regel yeshara. Their feet are straight. It's on page Chav Dalet in there. So their feet are straight. So it says just like their feet are straight, so therefore we should daven with straight feet. What does straight feet means? You put your feet together. Okay, that's how you think your feet straight. So in fact, it's like one straight foot. Raglehem regel yeshara. It's like a single straight foot. So by you putting your feet together, so it's somehow like you're like the malachim with straight feet. So the question is he says, someone who argued on the Jews asked the Rashba, what's the deal with straight feet and the feet together in davening? Why is that our position? And what is the sense of learning from malachim? What does that even mean, the malachim have straight feet, and why are we learning from them? We're not malachim, we're people. Right? Okay. So he answers the question in two parts. I mean, his first part is he just says, let's forget the malachim for a little bit, and let's just analyze the very halacha of davening with straight feet. What's the sense of that? Right? Why should you have straight feet when you daven? Or our feet together? So he says that a person's hands and feet are the parts of them with which they try to get what they want, get to what they want, or get close to what they want, bring it to them, walk to it, and get away from what they don't want. Distance what you don't want, fight against what you don't want, push it away, run away. Right? Your hands and feet are basically your limbs which accomplish that. And he says that when a person davens, a person has to realize that ultimately, even though we try our hardest with our hands and our feet to accomplish what we want, what we're looking for, and to get away from what we don't, we have to realize that ultimately a person highly overestimates their ability to really ensure their own success with their hands on their feet. Which means is like there are a lot of factors. Although it's important for us to use our intelligence and to try to, and our strength and all our different abilities to be successful, but there's so many factors out of our control. And when we daven, that's the idea, that's the premise upon which we're davening. We daven, we realize returning to God, and realizing, yes, we try what we could do, and the person does a lot, but ultimately there are many chance factors, whether it's you meet a certain person, you get the right job, you have a certain connection, you meet the right person to marry, you whatever. There's tons of health, and you're all different factors that even with the best of efforts, could your efforts could fail, or you're even with doing the best thing, what makes you successful ultimately could be something totally out of your control. So, and that's the premise upon which why we're davening to God, why we're looking down to Hashem, because we realize that although we do our best, and that's important that we do our best, and it does get us so far, but ultimately we have to realize that it doesn't really get us as far as it doesn't really ultimately get us success or avoid failure. And it's important. The problem is it's very hard for a person to really internalize that message, because all day long we're involved with our hands and our feet and our talents and our skills and trying to really get it to be successful and to avoid failures. So when we daven, we have to snap out of it and reflect. Yes, I'm involved as much as I could, but I have to reality check. Ultimately, here's where it's at. When I turn to God in tefillah, and I know God is able, and He's a Shomea Tefillah, and that's this place where I turn to God and I ask Him to take care of my needs and to protect me and whatever you're being backish for. So he says that in order to remind us of that idea, so when you daven, you put your feet together. What does putting your feet together mean? It means basically I have nowhere to go. It's like, I have nowhere to run, I have nowhere to walk around, I can't, it reminds you, it's like as if you're locked, you're locked down. As if basically I can't go anywhere to get what I need. Here's where I need to be. I don't need to go anywhere. I am where I need to be. To get my needs, this is where I need to be. I need to be mispaal. So it's more to remind. And he says, similarly, you see when people beg, there's an idea of, Sabina, we're discussing your feet together for davening. Putting feet together for davening. So similarly, when a person begs, you see a person puts their hands together and begs, say, I beg you. So it means, it's as if, what's it saying? It's saying, if my hands are tied, I can't do anything on my own. I simply am asking for your graciousness. That's like a way people beg, right? Even today, that's how people beg, right? It's like you get down on your hands and knees and you beg, right? So this means I can't do anything on my own. So the idea in tefillah is a similar idea, is that we have to bring to our minds the fact that we're limited and we can't walk anywhere to get what we want, and ultimately our we're thinking now the fact that our way to get what we want is through tefillah and through turning to God. And he says, it's not necessarily, he says, so why don't do your hands? So he says, they'll only need to do one. And since your feet are the primary, more important or more essential, better at getting you what you need than your hands, because I guess that's what he's saying, it's more primary, so therefore you do only your feet. So we said the idea for that is, so that's what he says, is that you don't have to do your hands and your feet, because it's not that we're actually tying ourselves down, right? We don't actually tie ourselves down. It's just an idea to bring to mind the concept that and that we are unable to really accomplish what we need through our hands and our feet. So simply doing one of them brings the concept to mind, and that's the mindset we have to have in tefillah. That's what we have to think about. So it's a preparatory step that could help us in tefillah. Okay, and a person is moved. Oftentimes we're moved by like bodily position more than just words. And words are one thing, and we say words of tefillah, but the fact that we take a position before we daven, so it brings this idea to mind. You know, that ultimately when we're davening, we reflect on, we have to kind of take pause from our ordinary involvement and reflect on our like we're tied up. Ultimately we're tied up. We can't really be as successful as we'd like to think that we can based on our own strivings. Okay, that's basically the main part we did last time.
Good question.
That's a good question. So we're just saying so, but on the one, you have to take responsibility for your own actions. So where do you draw the line? Just to say everything's with Hashem seems to be not a good approach either, right? Well, then you don't do anything, right? You just sit around and say, look, God's going to do everything, right? Or just sit and daven all day. So that's a good question. I think the answer is that a person has to be realistic. On the one hand, a person does have... I'm not saying a person has nothing and a person has no abilities. That's not true either, because God gave us abilities and gave us a mind and gave us physical abilities and strengths to be able to accomplish a certain, you know, certain things. And to the degree if we just sit around and do nothing, we're not going to accomplish anything. So there is an idea of a person making a plan, setting up or getting a career or whatever it is, you know, building a meeting, a person, a family, and a spouse, and this and that, whatever it is a person does in life. But and the person has to do that, and that's largely part of what makes us successful. But at the same time, a person can't overestimate their ability to be successful totally independently. And so you have to be realistic, because even if you do, like you said, even if you do, you know, you go to school and this and that and all the other thing, you may not get a job. And whether you get a job or not, even with the best resume, is dependent upon certain chance factors. Someone recommend you, you happen to bump into so-and-so person and this and that, you know, and a million things like that. I mean, you have to think into your life and realize how little of the things that you really, like, take pride in, that I did this, how they're always something which is out of your control, you know, and factors if you're totally on your own, you'd be, you know, the fact that you thought of something, or a lot of different things which are totally, you know, fortuitous, fortuitous types of things that ended up working in your favor. So a person has to realize that although, yes, you got to do your hardest, and it's important to do your hardest, because that gets you far, and that's what God commands us to do, and that's what we're judged on, the fact that, you know, our din is that we use our intelligence and we try to, you know, live a life and we try to set up a life that we can be successful. At the same time, we can't overestimate the degree to which we could ensure our success. And that's why we turn to God and say, God, so to speak, I'm just putting words into, paraphrasing, God, I did what I could do and I tried, I made a plan, a rational plan that's you know, in line with all, based upon as best as I could see it. But now, at the, after my rational plan, there's still a certain percentage chance that I will succeed or that I won't succeed. There are factors that are still out of my control. So I went to the best doctor, and I did all the research, and I found out this is the right way to go, and this is the right procedure. But bottom line is, in this surgery, only 80% of them are successful, and 20% aren't. There's nothing else they could do. So I turn to God, and I say, I must follow that. My planning will pan out. You know, that the factors which are out of my control should pan out, and that's what we say God's Shema Tefillah. That's, I mean, that's the realm in which is Shema Tefillah. Man has to do his part in being intelligent and making good decisions, as opposed to a person who just sit back and say, I don't really know, I want to go to doctors. God, just please heal me. That's not what we're supposed to do. You know, so that would be a wrong attitude. But so it is like you can't. There's like either extreme. I think is bad. Extreme of saying is, look, I'm not going to do anything, let's just God do it. That's not what the Torah tells us to do. But at the same time, to just have a full self-confidence that I could do everything, that's also a denial of, strong sense of feeling of our own power, you know, our own strength. And then there's no place for tefillah. What do you need to do with tefillah? Just, look, I'm strong, I could do everything, you know. But it's tricky, because it's like you can't take on either attitude. There's a certain emotional attitude in both sides, which it's neither of which the Torah supports, you know? Okay? Good question. Okay, any other questions? Let's go further. So now the question is, what does it have to do with Malachim? Right? What does it have to do with Malachim? This is just, this first paragraph, he's not really talking about Malachim, he's just saying, okay, let's just forget for the time being Malachim, what's the idea of davening with your feet together, right? But then he gets into what's the deal with these Malachim and their feet being whatever, what's the whole, right? So he says like this. So let's read it together. He says, Od Pinacharis. Okay, so I'll read it and I'll translate. It's a paragraph. Od Pinacharis, another point. Another foundation, whatever. Shamin Hanushi, Hakavana Bivri Yaso, Lahakir Boris Baruch. So the intent in creation, when God created man, he created man in order to recognize his creator. Ulahomimo, and to exalt him, Ulahodoslo, Shuhu Yisparach Bara O Yeshmiayin Gamor, and to admit, to acknowledge before God that God created man from nothing, absolute nothingness, Lamo Lufano, to stand before him, Ulasharso Lishmadach Mitzvosov, and to serve God and to watch, to guard the mitzvos. Right, so he created man with a certain plan for a man's life. Sof davar hu malach musam baretz. So, in summary, man is like a malach placed on this earth, beretzon boro yisbarach, with God's will, kimo hamalachim alayonim, just like the heavenly, superior angels, shehem sichal nefratim, which those angels, he says, are intelligences, non-physical, intelligent beings, okay, who are also placed, sent to accomplish some sort of mission for God. So it's saying is that man, and there's a malach, he's saying is a messenger. Malach is like from malacha. He does the malacha of God. Carries out God's malacha. So like we said, the apostle says, Osa malacha vruchos, like God makes the winds his malacha. So malach is a vehicle which God uses to carry out to carry something out, to send on some sort of message, some mission. So malachim, there are malachim in the shemayim, whatever, non-physical beings who are in charge with doing whatever it is that they do, with let's say kind of carrying out tzar ba'onesh or whatever it is. So there's certain forces which God set into being that carry out as well. The wind, it could be a malach, and the Torah calls va'yishlach malach v'yotzeinu mitzrayim, that God sent a malach and took us out of Mitzrayim. It means Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is a malach because God sent Moshe Rabbeinu on a certain task. So similarly, saying is that mankind, man was created with a certain mission, a certain task of serving God and to teaching, to recognize that God exists and to serve God and to teach man, to teach other fellow men that God exists. In that sense, he's a malach. He's as if he's like, he's not malach in the term like, and then another he refers to certain beings called malachim, we're called mankind. But in a sense, we're also a malach. Okay, so therefore what? He says, "Valovish malachos," and we're dressed in the malacha, in our malacha, la'avodu l'hakir bor yisparach, to serve and to recognize God. The kach la yikraho uvein hashalem, In fact, he says the perfect Oved Hashem is actually called the Malach, and it's a pasuk. It says, "Kamru ki sivse kohen yeshmeru das." If the lips of a kohen should guard knowledge, v'toru yivakshu mafihu, and he should seek out Torah from his mouth, ki Malach Hashem tzvagosu, because he's a Malach Hashem. Right? So you see, it's calling someone who teaches Torah and guards knowledge is calling Malach Hashem. Why is it Malach Hashem? Because his mission is to teach, he's God, sent by God to teach man knowledge, to teach other people Torah, teach people about Hashem. And he says, similarly, in Chazal say, Amr lo Malach Yashar. So the Gemara refers to the Rabbanon as Malach Yashar. Because the same thing, as the Malach is not necessarily some heavenly being, but it's basically a reference to the mission, to what the Malach does. So certain beings are designated to do that, but man also functions as a Malach in a certain way of looking at it. Okay, that's his first introductory paragraph. Okay, he's bridging the gap between, because the question is, why are we davening the feet together? Because Malachim have their feet, 1 foot. What do we have anything to do with Malachim? So his first move, he's slowly making a move. In a certain sense, man also is Malach. Doesn't necessarily refer to a certain type of existence. It sometimes refers to that, but it also could, as has a reference to a certain mission or a certain role vis-a-vis God. And man, in that sense, is also called Malach. Okay, that's his first step. Questions so far? Okay. No? Okay. Okay, so now what does he have to do? What about feet? What are the feet of the Malachim? Right, he's saying that Malachim have 1 foot. So these Malachim, he's saying, are like, it's describing certain Malachim, right, in the Maran Nebuah, that they're praising God, and they're like, Afana, whatever, different Malachim, which we don't know exactly what they are, but they're some sort of beings which are non-physical, that are, whatever, carrying out God's, will somehow. Through some sort of whatever they're doing. Okay? Fine. So he says, Vida, so what's regal? He says, Vida, ki milas regal meshutaf. He says, the term regal is a homonymous term. It has two meanings. It can mean two different things. Okay? Or multiple things, at least two. So what are the two things? He says, Hu shem l'kliyatanua. First of all, it's the name for the vehicle of motion, what we call a foot. Al bohen raglo, me al raglo, or he goes has some sukkim that show that. Right? We don't have to prove that, right? Who's shameless siba? Also, regel means a cause. Okay? A cause. The regel ha-malacha. Because of the malacha. And it's a pasuk, I think, I forgot how it was. It's maybe it's by Lavan or something. And I think it says, I forgot exactly how it goes. Maybe it's that we can't travel fast because of the malacha, because of the work that we have to do. Maybe it's saying why Yaakov and Esav. I think maybe why Yaakov had to be held up. Whatever it means, but it means because of the malacha. Yivarech Hashem oscha l'ragli. Another pasuk. Hashem blessed you, Lavan, because of me. L'ragli, by my feet. Yaakov talked about it. Doesn't mean by my feet. What does it do with Yaakov's feet? But it means because of me. Okay? So l'ragli, regel, can mean a cause. Perhaps because your feet cause you to stand. Who knows? Whatever. But that's just saying the word actually means that. It's not words. The Ram does this a lot. The Ram shows how a lot of words that are used with reference to God, like Yad Hashem, or he shows a lot of words are actually have different meanings, dual meanings. And he shows how in other places, not with reference to God, it means one thing, it means another thing. And he shows when this word is used with reference to God, it means, doesn't mean a physical hand, but it means the strength, let's say, And so similarly, he says, regel means sometimes a foot, but other times it means a cause. So he says, when it says, umizeh v'raglehem regel yishara. So when it says that malachim have a straight foot, doesn't mean they have a foot, because they're not a foot, they're not physical, they don't have feet. So it's a mashal, or it's not even a mashal, it's the word means their foot is straight, it means their cause. So kolomar, that means to say, Shesiboseyam Yesharos, that their causes are straight. Masmidos, constant. Tamid, masmidos. Lo yisabu, they don't turn. Mimne she'inan bale taiva, because they don't have taivos, right, instincts, I guess, to tate osam, that would turn them, etam shichem el yitziyam and draw them away from the truth. Okay, so what does he mean? Could someone summarize? What is he saying? What does it mean that malachim have a straight feet? Straight feet.
One purpose. You're going to do one thing, and they don't get distracted. They don't.
Okay, good. As opposed to?
As opposed to people who have 2 feet and don't know their cause and get distracted.
Okay, good. Yeah, right. There's a, what are the 2 feet that a person has?
You know,
right one
God
and left
and
one.
Tefillah, and you know, they themselves do whatever
okay.
they can to get their what.
Okay, I think.
But
what else could he mean? I mean, I think he's talking more generally. I think for now he's stepping away from the particular of the tefillah. He's just saying generally when you talk about malachim having 1 foot and man and not having 1 foot or 2 feet. Causes, that is, not feet, but feet are meaning here causes.
For malachim, it's like they have one thing that they're doing that's
right.
going to get straight. For people, it's like we have multiple things.
Okay.
We're not as good at focusing.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah? Someone else?
If it has to do with free will.
Okay, free will. Good. Free will between?
Between Avodas Hashem and not Avodas Hashem.
Okay, good. Avodas Hashem and?
Other things.
Other things. Okay, good. So he says, someone else? You going to say something? He says, he says, because the malachim are not balei taiva, which would draw them away from the truth. Right? So it means the people have a part of them which tells them truth. Right? Call it their mind, their tzalalakim, their intellect, whatever you want to call it, right? Which tells them to follow God, follow truth, follow knowledge. That's a part of a person. But then they're also balei taiva. They have instincts, emotions, whatever, physical, whatever you want to call that, which draws them towards other stuff, not towards truth, but towards what feels good, what appeals to their instincts, right? And a person is drawn. I mean, that's the Melchamas HaChaim, right? There's a battle going on within us, which we're being pulled from two different sides. And our instincts are telling us to go for what makes us feel good, for physical pleasure, for ego, for fame, for whatever taivas they may be. Right, and our Salam Alakim, our Chachma, is drawing us towards truth, towards the knowledge of God. So we have like two different feet, different causes. So ultimately, what causes a person to act? It depends. Two things cause a person to act. And that's what Spina is saying, that's Bechira Chabechira, is where we choose between those two. Right? So we don't have one cause, we have two causes, and that's the battle in life, is to be Bocher, the right thing to cause us to act, right? We have two different causes, because we are like a dual being. We have a physical nature, but then we have a neshama, a non-physical being, right? And we're like a split existence. But malachim are not like that. They have one cause. They're reference to beings that are purely non-physical, purely drawn to do the truth. There's no taiva, no other side to them which is drawing them away from truth. Okay. So similarly, an animal is the opposite extreme. Also, an animal is just drawn to do with its instincts, to follow whatever its desires are, right? But man is like man's like a mix between a malach and a behemoth. Because a behemoth is pure instincts, a malach is pure chachma, pure just doing with the MS. But man has these two parts which are in conflict. So we don't really have, ultimately we don't really have one cause. But the malachim have a regal yeshara. That's what it means. It's one regal, and it's like straight. And straight means it's not like curving. It just says man has 2 feet, and they're curving, like he's going this way, that way, the other way, right? So because we're struggling in life, we're deciding between our different which regal, which cause to follow. So you say, but that's just as when the Navi describes the malach as having one regal. That's what it means. So it's like a mashal. You call it a mashal. It's, you know, I mean, it's like, it seems like it's not clear. It could be the I don't know if he means that that's what it means, or it's like the Navi saw an image of a 1 foot, but that brings to mind the deeper idea that foot is not, it also means ragel as a cause, and that's the idea that it's conveying. So perhaps different, I don't know, well, I haven't been through all these modern nevuahs you're talking about the feet, but maybe different nevuahs are referring to different causes of, you know, because you could call about the causes of a malach of this type of foot. Maybe it was this malach was being caused to do something. So, you know,
a calf foot.
Calf foot. Cat or calf?
Calf.
Calf. Oh, yeah.
They were covering it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I just
how many do they have?
How many
do
they have?
Two.
Two? Yeah, I mean,
sometimes they don't have feet.
So yeah, so the truth is, look, nevuahs are really, really complex and deep, and you know, it's to be able to do it. Certainly, would need its own analysis, and even so, I mean, here we're helped by the Rashba, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we should be happy just to. But this is one. Right, this is maybe like a derech, or at least opens up the door to how what a ma'an nevuah can mean. You know, it's not just some weird picture, you know, some image, but the image, every part of an image in the nevuah is pointing to a different idea and a different concept, you know, that God was showing to a Navi at a particular time and place that was relevant to him, whatever it is, you know? So this is an example. Okay, so far so good?
Are we supposed to be, like, have one focus?
Okay, so that's where we have to go now, right? So how does this bring it home, right? How does this tie into tefillah, right? But now we're getting closer, right? So look what the Rashba is doing. First thing he's saying is, well, we have anything to do with Malachim. Then he's getting to, okay, what's the idea of a malach having one foot, right? Okay, now he's just like, let's read the last paragraph. He says, V'kocha ha-mispalel be'is andol f'nei Hashem yisbarach. So too, a davener, a mispalel, at the time when he stands before God, tzarech l'chaving de'osav. A person has to, like, organize his thoughts or his midos, ulehayishiram el avodaso yisbarach, and to straighten them to avodas Hashem. Velazov darko umachshavto, and to leave his path and his thoughts, yichabein libo visibosav leratzon lo yisbarach, and arrange his heart and his causes to ratzon Hashem. Lahair, to awaken the idea, ki kol maisenu, that all of our actions, ki'achila, v'shena, like eating and sleeping, v'apu'ulos, and our actions, hakol kolel, all of it is inclusive, all it together is k'dei she'tiyena sibos l'kiyum agaf. They should be causes for the maintenance of our body, right? All the physical things that we do, we eat, we sleep, we do different actions, they're all there to maintain our physical existence. The kiyum haguf, and the reason why our physical body should exist, so then we'll be able to serve God through our physical body. If we don't have a body, or if we're not healthy, or if our physical needs aren't met, we're not going to be able to serve God. But it's all in order to do that. That's why we have to put our feet together, because that's a remez to causes, lahair, to awaken, to bring to mind, shesibosav yesharos, that your causes are straight, umiskavnos avodasa, ashenivra lakach, and should be organized, arranged for avodas Hashem, with, for which you were created. Uhu bishirusav b'avodasa yashar, and you, he, man, through his service and his avoda, will be straight. Misdama lios lemerkava, attempting to be like the merkava, like the malachim, shesibo sehin yisharos masmidos, that their causes are straight and constant, like they had a straight foot. Period. Okay, so what's he saying? Can we summarize? Let's maybe summarize. Someone want to summarize it, and then let's try to see if we can analyze it a little bit. Just the basic gist of what's he saying. So we have our feet together because.
We should be like a malachim.
Okay, be a malachim in that.
We should be doing what we're created for.
Okay, that we're. Okay, good. And what's this idea of straight and singular? How's he tying that in?
We understand what our real purpose is, and that we need to use our body to do that on purpose. So
okay.
You're really combining.
Where what?
So you're really combining, like, the physical and the spiritual.
Right. Okay, good. Good. Okay, good. So, anyone want to elaborate on that, or any questions on that, or something to say about that? So what about that question? Look, we're not malachim. Right, what else someone would say? Look, malachim is very nice. They have one foot, but we're not malachim. What are we trying to pretend like we're malachim? Right?
Yeah, I guess we can learn from it. Really do it to be like
Malcolm. Okay.
I
think like that's not even the point.
Okay, what's the point?
I mean, it's not the point for us to be like monotone in
okay.
the first place. So it's almost like
right.
it's like this idea that we're not supposed to feel like we're this like we're not supposed to measure ourselves in that because we're much more complicated. There's
right.
virtue in having 2 feet.
Right. Okay. Good. So then, what? So that's a query asking question, or
yeah.
Right. So right. Exactly. What are we? Why are we trying to be? We're not malachim. So let's accept that we're man, and that's it. Why are we trying to pretend like we have 1 foot? We're not. We have 2 feet, and this is what we are. Right? So what's his point? Somehow he sounds like he's saying we should try to somehow, something. Right?
Malachim also don't need to work hard to do it. They just do it.
Right. It's true. It sounds like, right, it sounds why are we, the whole thing sounds like weak. Why are we comparing us to ourselves to Malachim? Right? That was kind of the guy's question. Whoever asked Rosh for this question. But what's his answer? Seems to be, why are we like Malachim, Malachim? Let them do their thing. Let us do our thing.
It seems kind of like we need to use the idea, I guess, more to realize that we are physical, but we should use that physical to get to our spiritual goal. So even though like we're not Malachim, like
right.
we should use the idea of Malachim to get where we need to go.
Uh huh. Okay, that's good.
This makes me feel better. It's like that we're not instead of building on it. Like if it was just okay, so we want to use it to be, we want to take this as like the end. We want to be like this. It should be in the parallel that we should therefore be stronger because we're working harder. It should be some sort of like support, like and we act like there's an extra thing involved instead of us just trying to imitate them, because it doesn't
right.
seem to parallel.
Right, and so, right, because ultimately we're not them. It has to be somehow humanized or made into, applied to man and not exactly like the Malachim, is that what you mean?
Yeah, like if we're supposed to be, if our end goal is not the same.
Right.
So, by saying, oh, let's just, by putting our life together, we're being like Malachim, there should be like an extra nuance to the allegory. It's not an allegory, but to the parallel.
Right.
It should be like to the muscle.
Right.
It should be something else that's like, but since we're not human, since we're not Malachim and we're human, then like, see, the feet are like extra stable or like something
right,
like that.
Right,
but
uh-huh.
it doesn't
right, I
seem
understand.
To be like that.
Uh-huh.
Unless
understand.
It is.
Right, I hear what you're saying. Uh-huh. Good question. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's quite saying that, but maybe we could see if there's somehow in there, something like that.
I mean, I feel like we're different, and so of course it's harder. But, like, it still seems that what he's saying is that the point is, it's not the same goal. Like, it's just not. But we're trying to get somewhere, and by taking what they do and seeing why they do it, we can learn from that. I don't think it's the same thing. We're not the same at all. But using the physical, like, instead of going all physical, use it to become more spiritual in that way and go the straight way. So I don't take it like that we should be exactly like Malachim, you know, like learn from the Malachim and do what we're supposed to.
I mean, it's really all one big juxtaposition, because at the same time in the beginning, the Rashba does say that we are like Malachim and that we both have the same tafkid. You know, we both have a job that we're placed on at the zoo.
Right.
So, you know, there is a parallel.
Right.
We can work
with. Right, I understand. That's true. I mean, that's how he starts his answer here. It's true. I mean, even though we're different, our natures are different, but in a certain sense, we share a common mission.
So then, well, once you have that basis, then you can then you know,
mm-hmm.
compare and contrast,
right.
and you can, like,
right, and so
yeah, like,
so you can say, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like we're similar. Like that's what I think that says. Like in the beginning, like we do have similarities. We do both have a job we're supposed to do, but that's in terms of we still are different.
Right.
No, that's it. We both have the same job,
okay.
right?
right.
Which is to replace learning to do whatever God wants us
right.
to do,
right.
right? And so we can learn from Lachem.
Right.
So that's the parallel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then...
And then, then the other stuff about the singular that we should... Then what Sarah said about the other stuff?
Right, but then once you're saying that we have the same job, you know, just how we do it is different.
Right.
Right? But you can then... You can still learn.
Right.
Because it's...
Like, because they have... Basis. They have one way that they're doing their job, and we can try and do it that way. Try and use both ways to do it.
Well, the fact is that we do have a physical and the spiritual, but like, do you get what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going in that direction?
Yeah, I think you're going in that direction.
It's like, it's basically our means of getting where we want is different, but essentially they are the same because.
Right.
It's really what's going against our addiction is the spiritual, our
right.
minds.
Right.
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 And
right. In that sense, we share that with Malachim.
Right.
But then at the same time, we have a body and we have this other side to our nature, which Malachim don't have.
I think maybe could it be something of like, instead of looking at it as two different things that we're putting together, I mean, this is, I guess, what you're saying, but like the synthesis of that, and then therefore it is in effect like the same goal.
Right.
Even though, so without negating the virtue of what we have, it's sort of just like the teacher as well. Listen, like you have the same goal at the end.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. That's good. Good. Someone else? Okay, so maybe let me just elaborate on what you guys are saying, but so I also want to add one point, is that see, I think that there's oftentimes people look at it as at man as like dichotomized, as being too totally like we're talking about, they're two feet. And there's like a conflict. Right? Like that's the way a religious person looks at it, right? Like other religions. Is like there's like the instincts are evil and then the man's goodness is good. You know, and there's like this ultimate clash, you know, two totally different like it's like you gotta decide. Are you gonna be religious or are you gonna be physical and involved in go down the path of all that stuff, the taivas, or are you gonna go into the world of the you know, the world of God. For instance, like the ideal in other religions of asceticism. For instance, priests are celibate and the idea of like totally physical is awful is bad. You know, anything physical is bad. And God and whatever is good. And for the two totally, there's like a split. And you got to decide. Are you going to be a person who goes with this or you go with that? And insofar as there's like guilt associated with the physical. But the Torah does not hold that. The Torah does not hold that ultimately man is split. Yeah, man has two legs. And if a person decides to follow totally the leg of the physical and of taiva, then yeah, that's rishus and they're totally going on a bad path. But that doesn't have to be a dichotomy and a split. But there's a unification of man's two parts. Which means that man is man. And this is what Rifa is saying. Man is man. We're not Malachim. And then we can't be a Malachim. Torah doesn't demand, right? That's like other religions try to make man into a Malach. There's no physical, just physical is bad. No, physical is not bad. God made man as man. And we have physical needs. And that's just the way in which we function properly is by recognizing that we have to serve God as men, and we have to satisfy our needs, but not as an ends in their own right. See, if you're satisfying your physical and your instincts purely as like an ends in their own right, then there's a conflict. What are you? Are you satisfying needs or are you God? Are you a focus? Are you knowledge? Are you God? Right? But for us, that's what he says is that. That all there's a unification. That yeah, we satisfy our needs and we satisfy our body and we sleep and we eat and we do all different actions. But ultimately, it's so that we could be strong, so that we're able to sustain ourselves, to be physically happy, to be psychologically happy, so that we're able to be involved in avodas Hashem. So we're able to serve God in the way that God created man, to serve God. So that means like we totally involve ourselves in all parts of our nature. Like for instance, Oneg Shabbos, the Yom HaShabbos itself. It's like a model of the life for man. So Oneg Shabbos is a mitzvah to be involved in the physical pleasure. Right, it's Oneg Shabbos, but at the same time, it's to be involved in Torah and reflecting on God, to remove yourself from Malacha and be involved in higher things. So you see, that talks to man's dual nature, but it's all unified together in Avodas Hashem. So that's what he's saying, is that we should realize, it's important for a person to realize that not to feel like our physical and our instincts and our taivas are bad. And guilt, we feel guilty about them or whatever. No, they're not bad. I mean, they're bad if you make them the end all in life, and that's all you strive for, and that's it. But they are part of our nature, and we have to recognize them, and we have to satisfy them, and we have to utilize them in our Avodas Hashem. And in that regard, we could unify ourselves and be like Malachim. As God created Malachim, who should be involved, who are involved in Avodas Hashem, and He created man who's involved in Avodas Hashem. And man's totality should unify, and just like Malachim are intrinsically unified, they only have one ragel. Man has two raglayim, two causes, but man has the ability to find a synthesis of them, right? And to approach God as a complete Adam HaShalem, where we're not conflicted, where we could unify our own nature to be under this under Rod Sashan. And that's the mindset which a person has to have in their Avodas Hashem. So what he's saying is that when we daven, a person sometimes feels like, and we're also asking for our needs in tefillah. Well, let me ask you that question. So maybe I'll leave that as a question, which we have to explain. But he's saying when you daven, you should think, you're being Oved Hashem, put your feet together and think of yourselves in the framework of the Malachim, which means pull yourself together. Don't realize that there's not a dichotomy, but all your whole self is should be totally singularly involved in about the social, and you have to find the synthesis of your two disparate parts. So why in tefillah? I think that's one thing we have to explain. Why? Okay, this is a nice idea. And it's important. It's a fundamental idea of how we relate to ourselves, right? How we relate to our bodies and our instincts and at the same time our intellects and our pursuit of the Hashem. But what does it do with tefillah? Why is this an important idea that we have before we daven? Right? Because this is saying, well, this is what we do. When we daven, put our feet together, remember we're like Malachim. What does it do with davening? It's just a universal general idea, you know? Why is this an idea to have in mind when we daven?
Maybe we should keep in mind that we should have, like, we're asking for physical, but we should keep in mind that anything that we're asking for should be to get to the spiritual.
Okay, that's good. So one thing is that, but all right, well, here we're davening for our needs, so you have to put everything in perspective, right? If you're davening for, let's say, for wealth or for health, or right? You have to kind of organize your thoughts and put it in a perspective that it should all be part of your requesting ultimately for you to be able to function properly to be an Oved Hashem in a singular manner, not to just go off on a path of, you know, so kind of organize us. And when we're organizing our lives and asking, we have to kind of prioritize and bring to mind ultimately our goal, because that's what in tefillah, when we make a request for someone, you have to kind of organize your thoughts. Who are you? What are you striving for? That's the premise upon which your tefillah is based. So that's the platform, that's what you should do before you daven, is to pull yourself together and realize that there isn't a split. But, right? Okay, that's good. Someone else?
This is like a time for us to regroup our thoughts.
Right.
And remind us that.
Uh-huh. Right. And before we turn to God and being involved in Avodas Hashem and talking to God, we kind of have to pull ourselves together. Especially because, look, in life, I mean, this is what you mean. We get involved in stuff and whatever it is that we're doing in the world, and we kind of sometimes lose focus. So before we approach God, we kind of refocus ourselves and bring ourselves together. It's easy to get lost insofar as we're involved in the physical. You know, sometimes we're involved in learning, and then we think about this, but then we're involved in whatever else we're doing, and we forget these ideas. So that before we daven and we're involved in Avodas Hashem, let's just focus ourselves together and think about that idea. Right. So I think the very important point you said is that Although, yes, we are different. We're people and they're malachim and malachim. But we are jointly involved in the mission of carrying out God's will. And it's true, differently. But, like, so to speak, if we were, our mission was to carry out God's will, and we are two totally different causes, conflicted parts to us, which are irresolvable, then it would kind of be like, we wouldn't be a very good malach. Because a malach is supposed to be carrying out some sort of a mission. And if we are totally irresolvable conflict, we're not going to really accomplish anything. So we have to realize we are malach Hashem, like another malach Hashem. But the way our malacha is accomplished is through our unification, through realizing these two disparate parts are resolvable. So the real malach doesn't have to do that. That's its nature. The man has bechira, and through our own free will, we could realize these parts should be unified, and that's how we could function like malachim in carrying out the Ratzon Hashem. And that's through that man gets star. I mean, that's the malach doesn't naturally, man has to choose it, but then we could enjoy that, we could be the cause of our own, you know, of our success, and we could reap the benefits of that. It's different. Man and malach are different ultimately, but the fact that we're carrying out God's will is through unifying ourselves, just like the malach. Right. Okay, good. Is there a question? Okay, good. Good stuff. Okay, good ideas, guys. Okay, so I guess we'll try next time to go to the next piece. Next piece is talk about the question of not eating before you daven. Okay, that there's a thing of before you daven, before you eat, you should daven. And it's learned out from Pasuk Lo Sochu Al Hadam. Don't eat on the blood. Okay, that somehow refers to, it says, don't eat before you daven for your blood. Like, your blood is like your life. So this person who is attacking the Jews also asked the Rashba, what does that mean? Why are we calling davening for your blood? So maybe we'll do that one next time. Okay? Alrighty.